A New Look at God's Law. Chapter 4. God's Sabbath Commandment. Rest for your weary soul. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Exodus 20:8. There is not a negative in that law of 10 commandments, although it may appear thus to one who hasn't learned the truth of the gospel. Galatians 2:5. We have seen how the first three commandments are open gates to happiness, not vice versa. So is the fourth. How can the fourth commandment become an assurance of rest for our souls? It is a commandment that almost the entire world disregards. Why? Is it difficult to obey? No, God makes it possible for everyone to receive the Sabbath blessing that is wrapped within it. It's a part of the riches of God's grace He gives to anyone who is willing to receive. Let's see what it says. Remember the Sabbath day, to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. There is no end of blessings wrapped up in this commandment. Here only a few. The blessing of Sabbath rest is for the whole world. No one is left out. God is speaking to you and to me, not just to the Jews. Jesus said, "The Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. Woman also was made for man. But marriage is not only for the Jews. Man means everyone. The rest, that is in Sabbath keeping, is what our human hearts have always yearned for. It is far more than merely taking a nap to achieve physical rest from labor. It is peace of heart. Billionaires would give everything for genuine Sabbath rest. God rested on the Sabbath day to bless it and hallow it for us. Because He has given the Sabbath as a gift to the world, it's for us to enjoy. You never keep the Sabbath alone. You have fellowship with Him. I am with you," He says, and Jesus promised, "I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him. And we will come to Him and make our home with Him. Jesus and the Father will move in with you. And that means joy." Jesus promised, "Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." But the Sabbath day brings us into a specially intimate closeness with Him. It's like He makes an appointment with us for a date. And if He is the object of our loving worship, then we will keep the date with Him. And it's not once in a great while. The Sabbath is the special seventh day of every week. The Sabbath is the glue that holds all the days of the week together. It gives the reason for the week. No human being invented the week. It is what God gave the world in the beginning when He created the heavens and the earth in 6 literal days, as Genesis 1 tells us. The Sabbath is the memorial of His work of creation. Evolution could never have come into the world to deceive so many people if the world had. Remember, Ed, the Sabbath day, to keep it holy. Keeping the Sabbath is therefore the sign, or mark, of God's true people, for He says, "I gave them my Sabbaths to be a sign between them and me, that they might know that I am the Lord who sanctifies them." His sign is like His signature. It's like He says, "I have been looking for them, and here they are my true people. They keep my holy Sabbath. That marks them as especially mine." Jesus Himself especially enjoys having fellowship with His people every Sabbath day. We seldom think of the joy that our Sabbath keeping brings to Him. Isaiah says that He shall see of the labor of His soul and be satisfied. The Sabbath day is like a grand party of celebration. He invites us every week for this special time to meet with Him and with His people. And if you are not there, He is sad because He misses you. There are no distractions on this celebration day. "In it you shall do no work," He promises us. Ezekiel describes the other days of the week as the 6 working days. There are all kinds of intrusions on those worldly days: heavy burdens, business, making a living, buying and selling, TV and radio, cares and labor that weigh us down, news of disasters and crime. There is no peace in the world. But on the Sabbath day, all those distractions are laid aside. It's like we spend the day with Jesus in His house, as it were as guests, a day of peace of heart, freedom from worry, a harbor of refuge from the angry ocean storms, a garden intersected with streams from paradise, a cooling fountain in life's dry, dreary sand. We are delivered even from our bills that come due. We lay them aside on the Sabbath day. We don't let them intrude on our peace with God because we trust that He will take care of us, He will bless the labors of our 6 working days, so that we shall have enough to pay our bills without worrying. The Bible tells us to leave our financial planning and accounts until after the Sabbath, and do all that work on the first day of the week. So this beautiful fourth commandment shows us how to enjoy the Sabbath with God, free from those tiresome, worldly intrusions. The Sabbath becomes like a day of heaven on earth. Children especially love the Sabbath in a home where it is reverenced. They can't wait until next Sabbath comes, when Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me, and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of heaven," he meant, let them come on the Sabbath day. But if we don't keep the Sabbath holy, they can't. The true seventh-day Sabbath becomes the happiest day of the week. On most calendars that are used worldwide, the seventh day is called Saturday. To make it doubly sure, we can check by reading Luke 23 verse 54, which tells of the crucifixion of Jesus. That day was the preparation, and the Sabbath drew near. Millions observe Good Friday in honor of the death of Jesus. That pinpoints the true Sabbath, for the next day of the week is the regular weekly seventh-day Sabbath. Incidentally, God has never asked us in the Bible to observe Good Friday in honor of Christ's crucifixion. The Lord's Supper is the memorial Christ appointed. And again, we can pinpoint the true Sabbath day by reading the next verses in Luke. The women who had come with him observed the tomb and how his body was laid. Then they returned and prepared spices and fragrant oils. And they rested on the Sabbath according to the commandment. The next verses tell of his resurrection on Sunday. Now on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came to the tomb. But they found the stone rolled away. Christ had risen. It is so clear a little child sees it immediately. The Sabbath day according to the commandment comes between Friday and Sunday, the Lord's day. Of Revelation 1 verse 10 is the Sabbath, for God calls the Sabbath my holy day, Isaiah 58 verse 13. That's the reason why the seventh-day Sabbath is the happiest day of the week. It's the day the Lord calls my holy day. His presence is in the Sabbath. To the extent that we love Him, we also love His holy day. There are many sincere people who do not see this truth. Has God changed His holy Sabbath day? We must pause to examine some of the reasons why they are perplexed. No, God says, He has not changed His law regarding the Sabbath. I am the Lord, I do not change. There is nothing in the Bible to suggest that He made any change in His holy law. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. Why should He change anything that is perfect? He loves us too much to change such a blessed gift. Jesus regularly kept the seventh-day Sabbath, for we read in Luke 4 verse 16 that He came to Nazareth, where He had been brought up, and as His custom was, He went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day. Yes, when He said to the Jews, "I have kept my Father's commandments," He told the truth. All of the apostles followed His example in keeping the Sabbath on the seventh day. For example, the book of Acts tells of 84 Sabbaths that the apostle Paul kept, but not one Sunday. But, someone may ask, doesn't it tell of one first day of the week that Paul kept? No, Acts 20 verses 7 and 8 tells of one Saturday night farewell meeting that Paul held with the Christians in Troas, because he was planning to walk 16 miles next day, Sunday, to Miletus, and they would never see him again. No apostle would have walked 16 miles on the holy Sabbath day. Luke describes that night meeting as being on the first day of the week, because the Bible says the Sabbath begins at sundown Friday evening and ends at sundown on Saturday evening. Any night meeting on the first day of the week would therefore have to be on Saturday night. And Mark 1 verse 32 tells how on one Saturday, at evening, when the sun did set, the Sabbath being over, the people brought many sick people to Jesus to be healed. That is a delightful way to keep the Sabbath, from evening to evening, sunset to sunset. If you tried to keep it from midnight to midnight, you're asleep and you can't consciously welcome God's holy day. How could you welcome some special visitor who came at midnight while you were asleep? On Friday evening at sundown, the family gathers to sing, read a Bible story, and in prayer to welcome another precious Sabbath day. Why do many observe Sunday, and not the holy Sabbath day that the Lord blessed and hallowed? We must examine the reason. It is simple. Someone without the authority of God changed it. He instructed his holy prophet Daniel to predict that this would happen. In chapter 7, the prophet described the rise of 4 world empires in history: Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, and Rome, after which there would arise another great power, the little one, Horn, speaking pompous words that would combine church and state and would intend to change times and law. Both Daniel and Revelation state that he would exercise his great power for 1,260 years. Paul described the same power in 2 Thessalonians 2 verse 4 as one who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. John's book of Revelation describes the same power. And he was given a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. And authority was given him over every tribe, tongue, and nation. All who dwell on the earth will worship him, whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb. We have to decide then which power. We will follow the Holy One who created the earth in 6 days and sanctified his holy Sabbath for us to keep, or the one who has dared to change God's law and direct people to observe Sunday instead. Let us not be afraid to be different than the majority. Jesus said, "Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it." All through the history of the world that principle has been true. Jesus is real, he's alive and watching, and he always identifies with those few who follow him. The good news is that he loves us far more than we think. He paid a supreme price to redeem us. He can never forget us. He still loves us so much that he wants us to spend eternity with him. He is lonesome without his people. We live in the last days. Now, as our great high priest in God's sanctuary in heaven, he is working night and day, worldwide, to prepare a people to be ready to meet him when he returns. But they need a special preparation. Like children going to school, he will be our teacher, and we can be in his class. Therefore, Sabbath after Sabbath around the world, he meets with his people who follow him as the Lamb of God, and by his Holy Spirit he teaches and prepares them to be ready in that great day when he will soon appear. Nothing that is happening on earth is as important as that special work now going on. When Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest," he was inviting the world to enjoy his Sabbath rest. After creating the world and us in 6 days, he rested on that first seventh day in Eden. But we were created on the 6th day of that first week, so for us, the Sabbath was a celebration of all the work that God had done and had finished. We had done nothing. The Sabbath is still a sign of our resting in Christ and thanking him for what he has done, not glorying in anything we have done in saving ourselves. It follows that true Sabbath keeping is possible only when we understand and appreciate what it cost the Son of God to save us by his great sacrifice. Only when we permit that agape to constrain us can our Sabbath keeping be devoid of the polluting love of self in some way. To appreciate the width and length and depth and height of that love, agape, of Christ will make keeping the Sabbath day holy the greatest joy of your life. And children will learn to love the Sabbath also. If Christ's yoke is thus set before them as easy, and his burden as light, they will get so they can't wait for another Sabbath day to come. They will enjoy being guests in the house of the Lord. As the most precious gift of repentance is received by his people, they will be endowed with the ability to proclaim the Sabbath more fully, so that many dear ones now scattered in what Revelation calls Babylon will be able to hear the voice from heaven that says, "Come out of her, my people." Just now the Holy Spirit is calling people worldwide to keep holy his Sabbath day, for that's the special day when he meets with them to teach them. And his great 4th commandment assures all who will believe, they will know the joy of Sabbath keeping rest in Christ.